If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah.
Hey.
Fam.
Beautiful.
Thanks, Perry. It's good. He's, for a guy who's just like, you know, we call up Perry. We need him for a theme song. He'll come here every episode live in the studio.
Well, no, the son of a bitch. Yeah, he only will say, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He said, you can't afford me to sing words that I haven't sung before.
No shredding.
I'm not going to say, hey, fam. Yeah.
Fine.
I will say, oh yeah, repeatedly.
Yeah, it's in his contract. It's in his...
You know, he's sung it many, many times
It's in
times
the contract
before.
He signed in Mark Wahlberg and Donnie Wahlberg and his blood. They made a blood pact. It's Boston style, baby.
Hey fam, welcome to Hey Fam, the podcast where me, Levins, and him, Angus, talk about movies and TV and comics and video games and Entourage. We forgot to put Entourage on.
We forgot to put Entourage on, but I'll
you know what? I think
we got this one.
Yeah, I think maybe we can just pretend that we're watching Entourage.
Oh, look, Johnny Drama made a suggestion.
Oh, Johnny Drama just said, baby bro.
Vince isn't going to do the movie.
Oh, Turtle's wearing a hat.
Someone's double parked somebody. Ari's yelling. His hairline's getting visibly smaller and smaller.
Oh, man, every episode of this is the best.
Yeah, it's the best. Well, look, thanks for downloading. And thanks for subscribing and downloading episode one.
Man, we got a cool response. We were number three of the
not
comedy
to brag
charts
or anything,
for a while.
But we were like...
Well, let's brag.
Yeah, let's brag. Will who? Oh, Will Anderson in fourth place, sure.
Yeah. Hey, Will Anderson, we're coming for you, buddy.
Well, we just cut that tie for any future guest appearances by Will Anderson.
And you're welcome, listeners.
Yeah. yeah, well, look, thanks for downloading. This is a brand new, this is a brand new Bad Boy podcast.
It is.
So for all of you guys to jump on, and just you to jump on, that's great. So, I mean, while you played things safely, look, let's take it up a bit. Next time you walk past a Mac store, next time you walk past anything, just go inside, open up iTunes, subscribe on every computer.
Every
it's
single
not
computer.
Hard. Yeah, it's not hard. Look,
call
we do
your
the
mom,
same.
Call your dad, and they're like, "Hey, you haven't called us in weeks." And I shut up, mom, shut up, dad. Go to your computer and load up your phones. Everyone has an iPhone now. Podcast app, you've never opened it before in your life.
Here's something I wanted to share.
Oh,
with
wait,
you
have before. You've got every episode of Serial and nothing else.
Yeah.
Oh, if you like Serial, you're gonna love this new incredible podcast.
Oh yeah, best thing. No one in this one goes to jail. No one's an accused murderer. That's a guarantee.
Yeah,
true. The only thing we're murdering top 10 charts at the moment. But here's a little insider info. Go into any telco prepaid with a dead family member's ID. Dead people can still download podcasts. Doesn't matter if they don't listen to them.
Steve Jobs, huge podcast
big
listener.
Fan. He's a huge fan. Look, if you want to get in touch with us, we've got an email address. But to be honest, who uses email? So just go to, everyone uses Facebook.
Did anyone email us?
No one emailed us. Just the Gmail team telling me that I'm 10% through setting up our account. I don't know what more they want.
What more do they possibly want?
I think it's just a really...
Maybe we need to subscribe to the Hey Fam through the Gmail.
I think we need to... No, you know what it is? It's them trying to convince us into getting a Google Plus just so we can populate it with a piece of content.
I love Google Plus. I use it all the time.
You know what? If you want to get any... I guarantee you, if you were like a school shooter or if you had like a hate crime or something like that, if you had posted your whole manifestos on Google Plus, that'd only discover it like post-event because nobody's
like
on there.
Like a decade later.
It's like Facebook is probably saving so many people's lives because they're like, oh, this kid's a bit off. Let's take that terror threat a bit seriously.
This is a very 2010 joke, but Google Plus is to Facebook what How to Make It in America is to Entourage.
Boom!
And let's kick things off with another HBO show.
Oh, Ballers, look.
Ballers, yeah, sure, I was going to do a detective, but get it straight into it.
Oh, no, Ballers, look, this is a weekly segment, which until the season gets cancelled, so I'm gonna give it four more eps.
Ballers is The Rock's new show on HBO.
And if you don't know that...
It's a show that Angus tried to get me to watch a full episode of last week, and I tapped out after 10 minutes.
Yep, and I tell you what, he got absolutely nothing less of an experience than I did who have watched that whole episode.
And another one.
1.5 times. Look, this is basically... It's going to be the hottest show. If you're going to be getting into the right nightclubs, if you're going to be rubbing shoulders with the right people, you're going to have to know what happens on Ballers
each week. You're going to be a Ballers baller.
The thing is, no one wants to watch Ballers. It's terrible. So the good news is I'm going to watch it for you every week. And I've taken three takeaways today's episode.
Oh, good. Okay, so I'll start the clock. You only have 30 seconds.
Great. Okay.
I'm
just going to bring up my notes. I was legit taking them.
It says 30 minutes. Do you want 30 minutes?
Let's go 30 seconds. All right.
And go.
The Rock has lent $300,000 to one of his clients. Now that is also that's the same point as I made last week, but that just goes to show that not a lot happens per episode. That's still the biggest thing. The Rock made a big point of telling one of his colleagues that the suit he has is custom. Now, might I also add, that suit has to be custom. Like, no shit, The Rock. It's like 4 tents stitched together. Just watching him walk in, it's amazing. Oh, and the other point, takeaway I had from watching it is...
It's cool. You've got 29 and a half minutes left.
Oh, good. Well, this is this is a tie back in a discussion you and I had last week. Kudos to the team behind Ballers, because while The Rock has, as you know, he has a beautiful face. He's bald. There's so much skin there. I know he's a baller, and get this. The words baller is not tattooed on his forehead. And I think, look, if the Suicide Squad, if DC Comics are listening, have a look at Ballers. The Rock is sending the message loud and clear through, I don't know, call it intuition, call it just acting, call it doing his job.
What about if Suicide, in the crazy possibility that Ballers gets a second season? And
that's a world I want to live in. That's a Kickstarter I'm starting next episode.
Save Ballers before it even needs saving. Perfect.
Well, it goes into administration first.
Let's start a ska band called Save Ballers.
Mighty, mighty baller stones. It's going to be big. Look, what's going to go to administration first out of Mark Wahlberg's hobbies? Is it going to be executively producing Ballers or Wahlburgers, his burger stop, which has like three shops in Boston and that's it?
What about Fat Sal's? Do you know about Fat Sal's?
No, what's Fat Sal's?
That's Turtle's restaurant in LA.
Legit?
Legit, yeah.
You know, really? Yeah, just named after himself. Yeah, his character was Sal.
Yeah. He has a restaurant where you can get like man witches.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Is that why he's so thin now? Because he saw what actually went into making food?
Yeah.
Holy shit. But yeah, also there was 8 conversations in the episode that were on the phone. 3 of those, I think, with conversations to say, I'll be calling you later for a future conversation. It's amazing. Like,
it's at least 50% of the show is the conversations happen on a phone.
80% of scenes are people walking into cafes on the phone or walking towards their car or exiting car on their phone. It's insane.
And it's the kind of show where like, you're like, you know, you're never going to like, if you wear a Bluetooth headset, you're a dickhead. But I mean, you're a dickhead on this show anyway. So why doesn't anyone on this
show... Bluetooth headset's nothing in this show.
Yeah, why don't they wear a Bluetooth headset?
Look, I was on our Facebook wall, which is what I was saying. If you want to get in touch with us, Facebook, it's just, hey, fam. If you do want to email us, it's hey, fam podcast. But that's weird. You don't want to do that. I noticed someone gave you a suggestion, a Kristen Johnson.
Yep.
And they... Now, this is... We have been asking for episode pitches, but I'm really liking the initiative shown here. Hi, Andy, Drew, whichever you prefer.
Neither.
Do you want to say for the record here? Neither. Okay, great. That's because...
neither is fine.
It really changes the birthday cake I'm planning to make you next year. So that's good. I would like to request an episode where you watch The Simpsons movie and do a commentary track. Now, is there any history behind this?
No, none whatsoever.
So this is a legit request. I thought, okay, yeah, there's got to be a personal joke.
No, maybe this is just something that he requests of every podcast. Like maybe Will Anderson has the same.
Yeah, Mark Maron, yeah. President Obama.
When you're done with this Obama guy, could you do a commentary of The Simpsons movie? I think I would only do a commentary of that episode once time travel becomes available.
You've never seen it before?
No, I have seen it. I saw it at the Simpsons.
But want to go back to you've never seen
it? No, I would like to go back to while I'm watching it for the first time and do a commentary track of myself watching it.
And just being like, the look of sadness has checked in. He's checked his watch for the fourth time.
He's still surprised as to why Principal Skinner hasn't really had a starring role yet.
He's also wondering
why... That's his favourite character.
Wondering why after 25 years of being on the screen, the first thing The Simpsons decide to show is Green Day performing in Springfield. Isn't that like the biggest turd of a message? Like,
da, 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 da. That's
like, they could have done anything. They could have had anybody.
I think Green Day is like one of the few things that isn't that kind of works in that movie.
And that's like, to me personally, this isn't even what tonight, I have so many problems with that movie.
Christian, what have you done to us?
But look, maybe we'll do it one time. Maybe that could be...
You know what? Throughout the episode, you're going to pepper things that you found wrong with The Simpsons movie when relevant. That's my Angus Truscott challenge.
That's cool.
For episode two of Hey Fam. That's the episode
number one out. It seemed like three episodes left over stitched together into a movie. There you go.
Ooh.
First one.
Biting.
Yeah, look.
Let's talk about True Detective.
As you know, spoilers coming. Look, I don't... A friend of mine downloaded this the other day.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, have you watched True Detective?
And he was like, no. And you're like, that's pretty weird, Vince Vaughn. And I'm like, well, why haven't you watched it, Vince? You're great in it.
Yeah, I'm like, Vince Vaughn, that's so strange. Don't you get the dailies, first of all? And me, as your manager, I'm getting the dailies and I'm loving what I see. But third, it's just, we're doing spoilers in this. I think we live in an age now where if you haven't seen something within 30 minutes of happening, it's not on us it's not on us to protect you. You know what I mean?
I feel like we live in our little community of people that would subscribe to us aren't the kind of people that are like, meh, spoilers.
No, it's true. But if there is, look, skip ahead 5 minutes or something. Watch 5 minutes of The Simpsons
but
movie.
But we don't spoil too much.
No.
Oh, wait, well, we kind of have to with this one.
Oh, we have to because of that ending.
Man, that ending.
So, well, look, first of all, how'd you find the episode compared to the last one?
Well, I enjoy the slower pace of this season.
Likewise. Look, it's so moody. It's the mood, it's just dread. Like, I get paranoid watching it.
Yeah, and...
there's so much heavy-beating dread.
There is one central plot, but there are then... I think we have five separate side plots as well.
I mean, you've got the sister of Rachel McAdams of...
the crazy thing about True Detective Season 2 is I could not tell you one name of any of the characters.
I know Ray Velcoro.
Not anymore, motherfucker.
Well, that was the big shocker. Look, at the end of the episode, it was a great scene, and... it just goes to show that, like, a lot of people were saying, oh, isn't it shit this new season? We're not getting the original director back. This is something we've probably spoken about before. I can't remember because I accidentally deleted the first record. Inside Info.
We recorded last week's episode twice.
Yeah. And you heard the better of the two.
I think.
We're going to do the same for every episode. I'm deleting this one as soon as it's done. a lot of people were saying, isn't it weird they're not getting the same director? Blah, blah, blah. Look, I thought that last scene was amazing. I was, like, shitting myself. When he goes in that house in this episode, the last scene of this recent episode,
it was the first big suspenseful moment that they've done in the season.
And you got Colin Farrell, and he's just going, and like it's like 3 minutes of not basically a guy walking through a house, but it was amazingly done. And then bang, shotgun to the back, and then shotgun to the chest while he's lying on the ground, tummy
straight into the tummy.
And this isn't just like your mum and pa shotgun. This is like I'm towering above you. There's maybe 40 centimeters between the nose of my gun and your stomach. Yeah. And that's like Colin Farrell's the guy there. He's the poster child of the show.
Yeah.
That's a baller move.
My wife refused to believe that he was... She went through a few stages of grief last night of watching the episode.
She went through all the stages because there are stages of grief.
The first stage was...
denial's always the first,
asking me if he was dead and then saying, no, he's not really dead, is he? He can't be dead.
Did you say, look, Angus hasn't got the dailies for Colin scenes. He only gets Vince's.
And the Vince Vaughn's dailies are, ooh, looking good, baby.
and it's not really dailies. It's just the B-roll from Wedding Crashers. Yeah, that he keeps.
It's just a gif of him motorboating.
Yeah. Every time I watch him, actually, I've got to say, the only thing I can remember is him motorboating in Wedding Crashers. Best jowl to lip to, I don't know, I don't even think Einstein could put down the relativity of the theory of relativity behind that, because that is amazing motorboating.
Second, yeah, the second the second stage was, why did he die? What is the show going to do now?
Why? It's an HBO show, and as you know, I don't watch Game of Thrones, but from what I hear, they have no problem knocking off motherfuckers in that show. You know what I mean?
This is really not the first show to do that, but I mean, it is cool for...
Really early on, though.
Yeah, really early, second episode.
But remember, this is an anthology, so a second episode of an 8-episode series, that's maybe season 2 death.
Yeah, well,
the way I'm thinking about it.
And, well, I kind of said, you know, remember how much of season 1 of True Detective was told through flashbacks, and then we could see Colin Farrell
well, look,
in every episode.
Did you notice the end where it said coming next week?
I didn't see the coming next week. What happened?
There was a moustache-less Colin Farrell.
Ah, there you go, Bianca.
So either are
she
be...
was like,
we're going to be getting flashbacks
he's
of
dead.
Him.
Flashbacks aren't going to aid the story whatsoever. I'm like, no, there's a whole thing we don't know.
Well, the last time we saw him, and the only flashbacks we've seen, I think, we've only seen Vince's, and we've only seen Ray's, and then when they're together.
Yeah.
So last time we saw him was in that full sheriff outfit, just like Paul Riggins. And he went in there and he was angry and
Paul
he's like,
Blart.
Paul Blart. Paul Blart bike cop. Yeah. Oh, theory. He's gay, right? That's what you're picking up.
Colin Farrell's character.
No. He's amazing. Oh, shout out for the best line.
Who's gay? What?
Oh, yeah. Shout out for the best line. E-cigs are like sucking a robot's dick.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
That was amazing. Definitely. I was just like, that was brilliant. Also,
I hope we get a Colin Farrell zinger even when dead.
From the grave.
Every episode.
But yeah, Paul, the black cop, totally gay.
Oh.
Viagra, episode one.
Yep, creepy,
hot baby mama to like hot lady wanting to like.
Oh, I thought you meant his mum was hot.
Oh no, her coulter was definitely pulsating. That was hot in a different sense.
Peel the skin off my chicken.
It's the least and also the most sexy thing I've ever heard. But okay, episode one needed to pop a pill to get it up for. Look, I'm a red-blooded male, a bodacious babe. Second episode made an outlandish.
HBO.
Oh yeah. outlandish and kind of. Over the top, derogatory homosexual slang.
Oh yay!
Remember, he
dropped the F word.
He goes, "I went to the bank to pick up these statements to find out what Casper the Town Planner is doing, and there was a real nasty word for a gay guy looking at me. I wanted to slug him. And basically, the guy who I like to think of who's the fat cop.
He's Harvey Bullock.
Yeah, Harvey Bullock.
Harvey Bullock from the
Harvey
Batman
Bullock
series.
From the Batman animated totally series is, and yeah, U52. Yeah.
He's like one donut away from being that character.
He's one donut away, and he's just like. One hip flask enough. And also that shot of him just on the balcony checking out all the gay dudes going out having a party that night. The guys in the angel wings and then the male escort.
Oh, yeah, right.
And also when...
Because I saw that and I was like, oh...
He's going
to
bash them.
I'm like, how are we meant to like this character now? He just called someone a faggot.
No,
that's like, yeah.
Totally gay. Yeah. And mum, in the scene... I do have the... I watched it again because, you know...
You watched it three times.
Podcast research, baby. His mum said something along the lines of, why don't you ever pay attention to the pretty girls that are after you? Or something like that. And he's like, she's a nice girl. He's like, yeah, all the pretty girls like you, but you do nothing. And I'm just like,
right.
That's it. He's gay. So anyway, that's my prediction.
Yeah. And we
what a boring prediction.
Yeah. I feel like we're going to have a lot of, I reckon 80% of listeners going like, yeah, duh, no shit.
But yeah, I don't know.
I didn't get that at all.
Yeah, well, there we go. I'm down. I thought the Birdman is...
Oh, yeah, the Birdman. So
Birdman,
the,
bad boy.
So here's my cool prediction.
Harvey Birdman?
No, the next...
Identity.
The first opening scene of the next episode is a continuation from the last scene of episode two.
Yeah.
Colin Farrell gets shot in the stomach.
In the sex house.
But in the sex house... By the guy with the bird mask.
Uh-huh.
The guy with the bird mask takes the bird mask off.
Mm-hmm.
It's Colin Farrell.
Makes you think.
Mm.
Makes you think.
But how good would that would like... Or Russ Cole.
Or Russ... I was about to say. And also, just because before you were saying your wife is really bummed about... Is he dead? Is he not?
Mm.
Taking a track record...
She went through about 8 more stages of grief.
She added more
and
stages.
And the next stage of grief is her being annoyed at me for paying her out on this podcast. So suck
Sorry.
Shit.
Hey, this is a time-sensitive grief. This is one that you have to listen to yourself. But also, have a look at the end of season one of True Detective. Russ Cole takes a tomahawk to the chest like a boss.
Yeah, I know.
And
Colin
he's like,
Farrell
hey,
could be okay.
That's what I'm saying. It's not a big stretch.
It wasn't a headshot. Yeah,
it wasn't a headshot.
He has a belly.
We don't know if
belly,
he's wearing a vest.
A belly full of buckshot. That's very true.
He could be wearing a vest. And he seems like the type of cop who is wearing a vest 24/7 if you catch my drift. His life ain't too good. A lot of people don't like him. But, I mean, Russ Cole took a tomahawk thrown
That's true.
By the Yellow King like a boss.
If he's half the man Russ Cole was, he can take two shots from a shotgun.
I mean, that robot dick sucking line, that's pretty Russ Cole-y. I've got to say, that was a nice little throw. But yeah, look, I love it. I don't know.
I'm very on board for this
I'm
season.
So on board. Vince destroying glasses with those reading glasses
oh, yeah,
in
just
the car.
Crunching them up in the car.
That's a badass move.
That was great.
And just like... Annie, the
and also
Rachel
doing
Adams.
Detective work.
He's the one doing detective
so
work.
He could be the true detective.
He could be the truest detective of them
and,
all.
And I think Rachel Adams is really killing it in her role.
And how good was Rick Springfield, Jesse's girl, as the doctor?
Yeah,
the
amazing.
Creepy. Have you seen the movie Inherent Vice, the last Paul Thomas Anderson one?
No, I haven't.
See, man, it's awesome. It's based off a Tom Pynchon novel. He's kind of like a rambling 1960s. Basically, imagine this season of True Detective set in the 60s and everybody's smoking weed. So similar. Shows those really similar parts of LA. Obviously not as industrial, but so similar. There's a scene where they go to a dentist in that. It's an equally as like over the top rambunctious, like obviously a guy who doesn't mind a bit of the older, tooth number himself, much like Rick Springfield. And I was just like, this is great. Like it's real. All these complaints that still bother me about people not liking as much. It's like, oh, it's less the mysticism of, you know, the Louisiana South. And it's like, no, LA has its own amazing tropes. It has its own legends. And obviously the plastic surgery, all that, that, it just plays so well into it. I'm digging it. It's got its own vibe. Shut the hell up. Watch Wedding Crashers. You know?
Yeah, watch Wedding. Yeah,
and that's how I end every argument.
That's how you solve all problems. Watch Wedding
Speaking
Crashers.
Of problems, Levins, what about the problems of an 11-year-old girl?
Oh, because those are the things that we saw a movie based upon.
We saw that. That's right. This week, we will be chatting. Well, we're going to chat now.
This week. This coming up now.
Coming up in a second, Inside Out. Look.
The new Pixar movie. And
full disclaimer, Levins and I are big Pixar fanboys. You'll learn that we are fanboys of so many things.
I would say we're fanboys of all the things we talk about.
Yeah, except Ballers and Entourage.
And potentially Suicide Squad. Yeah, I mean, I've seen a lot of Pixar movies. I mean, almost all the Pixar movies that came out. I didn't see Cars 2.
I haven't seen that. Only one I haven't
tapped
seen.
Tapped out Baller's style of Brave.
You didn't have Brave tattooed on your head?
15 minutes in, because I was just like, this, I was so dull to
it. It was very traditional. I didn't mind it. I thought the message was good. There were some parts of it which took me to like Miyazaki-esque moments. Like there's a lot of forest scenes with that. These little spirits remind me of lots of Princess Mononoke when, you know, there's little like forest god things, those little dudes, the little heads, they're like the little...
Yeah, I didn't see any of those things yet.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. See, there's some cool moments like that.
Then. It was just like, you know, like, your father says that you cannot do this.
It's a Disney princess movie.
Yeah, but I mean, so is Frozen, and Frozen was electric.
Yeah, Frozen was electric. Frozen's amazing.
And Monsters University, I thought, was... I mean, because Monsters, Inc. is probably my favorite
it's
Pixar
perfect.
Movie.
It's beautiful.
And, like, Monsters University was nothing like Monsters, Inc., but it was still, like, it was slow to begin with, but by the end, you're like, oh, it's pretty fun.
And I dug the message, because I've dropped out of many a tertiary institution.
Mm-hmm.
I've never completed a
degree. I'm an art school dropout.
Yeah, and I thought that message was great. It was just like, that was Steve Jobs' path, and, you know, he founded Pixar. He was one of, and that was a big dedication to him in that film, and I thought that was kind of like, Hey, you can be Steve Jobs as too.
Anyone can be Steve Jobs.
You can make your staff cry on a
Listen
daily basis.
Listen to the lovely British-speaking dragon.
Yeah.
But, you know, it didn't feel like a real Pixar movie. And
it was another spin-off. They hadn't done an original IP for years at that stage. It was Toy Story 3, Cars 2, Monsters University. Brave is in there somewhere. And even then, that was like... That was in development hell, too. It started with a different director. Director had left. There was a lot of problems with Brave. It used to be called The Bow and the Bear, I remember. It went through so many different phases. And then eventually...
Toy Story 3, I loved.
Oh, that's a movie you and I became friends over.
Is it really? We haven't known
it. Was that era? 2010. Right.
I would say, 40% of that movie crying my eyes out.
Yeah.
And I think I associate that feeling. I can tell you the moment in all my favorite Pixar movies where I can't not cry. And I don't cry in any, barely any other movies, only Pixar movies and the episode of Futurama with Fry's dog.
Oh, well, you are human. You're not a robot. That is why.
But like when in Monsters, Inc., when Boo goes to
the door at the end and
she goes,
gone?
Kitty. And I
can't watch it.
I think of my little cousin. I break down and I'm just a mess.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the same.
The Incredibles, where Violet is trying to explain to her mother why she couldn't create force fields after they've almost died.
Yep.
That makes me tear up.
That's interesting. I've never got that from The Incredibles.
Toy Story 3. I started I started crying. Like, I teared up within 30 seconds into that movie.
Because I was just the familiarity of seeing Andy's room.
Because I was the perfect age when Toy Story
came out. I was 10, 9, 10 or something.
Yeah, and so
sequel,
I loved
it.
And it was the first movie that everyone in my family just universally loved.
It's a perfect
movie. As much
movie.
As each other.
It's a perfect
And then the sequel
film.
Came out. I've probably seen the sequel more than the first. I think I like Toy Story 2 more than the first
Toy
one.
Toy Story 2 up until... Toy Story 2 was on that pedestal of Empire Strikes Back. It was the movie that's like, we don't need...
It even has Empire Strikes Back lines
there's
in it.
Exactly. It is well aware of the fact that it's Empire Strikes Back. You've got all that character development out of the way. It's just an amazing story. And yeah, it's great. It was just flipping it. It's like Empire Strikes Back 2. I found it a smaller film. It's more about... the people learning about themselves. Yeah. It's not about the action sequences so much.
And it's about some kick-ass Randy Newman songs sung by a cowgirl lady.
You know, Randy Newman is just going to always remind you what being a friend is about. And that's what I love about Randy. But what was it for 3? You were just bawling from the get-go?
Well, no, it was as soon as those characters came on the screen, because I was so worried about that movie. Like, I mean, what a stupid thing to be worried about. But I just didn't want them to just piss all over the first two.
And they certainly did. It was so much respect. So much love. The script was amazing.
And you could tell from the get-go, that opening thing where they're all playing with that incredible Western setting. Yeah.
Setting was baller.
I just had tears coming down my eyes. Yeah. I was just like, oh, they've done everything I wanted them to do.
And then it's like, no, they're playing with themselves. Like, sorry, you filthy pricks. No masturbation. Because Andy's so old. And it was that whole thing about, what do you do when you get older? I mean, look, you and I, if we're recording in my house right now. Andy, you're a sellout because me and Levin's keep all of our toys.
Do you play with them though, bro?
I know they play with themselves.
Is the next, because they are making Toy Story 4. That would be hilarious if it was just, I mean, they kind of hit that note on Toy Story 2 with whatever Newman's character's name was. But
I think we'll just refer to him as Newman from now on.
But yeah, if like Toy Story 4 was just like a bunch of fuckboys.
Speaking of which, before we jump to Inside Out properly, what are your thoughts on Toy Story 4 being developed?
Because it's not actually a Pixar movie, right? It's going to be a Disney movie.
No, it's Pixar.
Oh, it is Pixar? For a while, it was the same thing. I think Disney was going to be doing 4 on its own for a while.
No, it was always years ago.
The expert, mate.
No, when Disney, when Pixar basically fulfilled their contract with Disney, this is like mid-2000s.
Right.
They were either going to go independent. The only problem was Disney would retain all the character rights. Toy Story 2 was straight to video at one stage, and it wasn't this movie. It was one about Buzz Lightyear getting recalled to Taiwan or something. It was straight to video. During that era,
heaps of racist stereotypes.
Oh, it's lots of like miso soli about your toy and just like horrible. Like Mickey Rooney in Breakfast at Tiffany's. So PC compared to what these assholes were going to do, because this was 3D. Also, but yeah, 4 was never going to happen, but apparently they've said it's a whole, I don't know. When they say it's a whole new story and whole new characters.
Toy Story 3 wraps up so perfectly.
I have a feeling it's going to be different toys. Who's writing it? Pete Docter's writing it.
Okay.
John Lasseter's directing it. So original director of
1 and 2.
That
makes me worry because John Lasseter did Cars. And Cars is an abomination.
Yeah, we do not speak of that. The Pixar film.
I'm concerned, but I guess
it's
going to
be a different story. This is a romance film, and it's different toys.
Okay,
so you know what? If it launches a whole new trilogy of these new series of toys, I'm down with that.
Okay, I'm into it too.
But Inside Out, Pete Docter.
Well, wait, before we get there,
oh right,
I want to talk about Pixar a bit more, because I have like I guess 4 tiers of Pixar movies.
tiers.
Yeah. I have about 4,000 tiers
for Pixar
per
movies.
Pixar movie. But at the very top,
what are these rankings?
Yeah, rankings. My absolute top tier, my two favorite Pixar movies, which I think are flawless.
You gonna say Wall-E?
Incredibles.
Okay.
And Monsters Inc.
Incredibles is still probably the best superhero film ever made, I think.
Mm.
Like hands down.
Yeah.
It is action based.
And I'm probably more worried about that sequel than I am. But that said, like, I mean,
I think they can handle it.
Yeah. I mean, did you see Tomorrowland?
No, Brad Bird.
People panned the shit out of that, right?
Everyone's panned the shit out of it. Yeah.
Yeah,
but
right. Brad Bird, what are you doing?
He turned down episode 7 for that? He turned down The Force Awakens.
Really?
Yeah. He wanted to do both at once, apparently.
In the same movie.
He wanted to do both. Yeah, he wanted to be like, he's like, I can do that, and then I'll come straight
when
into Star Wars.
When she holds the thing that takes her to Tomorrowland.
It takes her to Tatooine.
Yeah,
instead.
Perfect.
It takes her to the Mos Eisley Cantina. He didn't do it. Thank God. We'll be doing it.
We don't know yet. JJ Abrams might fuck it up.
I don't think he will. But that's another 9 podcasts.
900 podcasts.
900, yeah.
To go, yeah.
Incredibles.
Incredibles and Monsters Inc. They're my two favorite. That's top tier.
Yep.
Then tiniest little gap. Uh-huh. It's not even a gap. It's like a little ledge. Grandma's gotten a bit older.
Yeah.
You have that tiny little bump in your house. She's undergoing a wheelchair now.
She just stays there.
You pull
she
out
knows
the corner cement. No, you pull out the corner cement, and you just turn that ledge into a little bit of a
ramp.
And a little ramp.
Yeah,
and
gotcha.
It's not a decrease. It's a ramp.
Yeah, yeah.
And on that level are all the Toy Story movies. Mm-hmm. I say they're all equal.
No, it's a whole story.
Wall-E up. And I'm missing one that's really really good.
Nemo.
And I know Nemo's a lot of people's favorites.
Yeah.
Favorite, but
Nemo's beautiful.
Yeah, but Nemo has... I love Nemo. The only thing that lets Nemo down for me is that I feel like... And I feel like I got a little bit of this with Inside Out. It just kind of is like, oh, what would this thing be like if it was if it could talk? That's it. Great. Put it in the movie.
Gotcha.
And you know, you have a lot of... You have a lot of... A lot, you meet a lot of characters Pixar... that don't really like come back to factor into
that
the,
is kind of a Pixar trope, though, not a criticism of them, but I mean a lot of their films are what if this object which no one cares about suddenly had its whole
I mean it happened with... I feel like most of the movies are, they really develop characters for those inanimate objects or you know things that
I think
talk
out of all
do.
Of them literally after Toy Story I can probably quote Finding Nemo the most
yeah
but I definitely. Can quote the first 30 minutes of Wall-E perfectly
plus
and it's just you say nothing
yeah
because
yeah
there's no doubt. I watched Wall-E as soon as after I saw Inside Out I came home to watch Wall-E again. I was just like I don't. That to me might be my favorite Pixar film. I think that's the best love story ever told.
But the message is okay. The reason Wall-E doesn't make that top tier is if you don't like Pixar movies, this is the worst episode for you ever. The reason Wall-E doesn't make top tier is that Wall-E is like one thing I love the most about Pixar. One of the things I love the most about Pixar movies is they're really heartfelt and warm and beautiful, but they're also hilarious.
Yeah.
And Wall-E isn't.
You kidding me?
It's like kind of funny in parts.
It's
but
no, it's that classic. The intro. It's like
it's classic.
It's your but no, it's your Buster Keaton. It's your Chaplin. It's pure physical comedy for the start. It's him like you know with the bra on his head. Okay,
yeah,
no,
it's, I mean
and the tennis stick. And it's just oh, it's I think it's hilarious.
Yeah, I know I like you know, but there's well,
you know what I think's a problem. Everyone was like a lot of critics were like for ages like Pixar fantastic strong women characters. Oh, and that's you know Brave as we all know was kind of a reaction to Pixar being. Accused of no strong female characters. Eve, she's calling the shots in that relationship. She is such a badass. She's such a cool female. Besides Mrs. Incredible, obviously, another amazing strong female character. I don't know what crack these critics were smoking because Eve is like the strongest Disney character ever. She shoots like, she's like, he's like public enemy number one. He's like, she's like hunting him. Like,
yeah.
It doesn't get, and I don't know, man. I think it's a beautiful love story. It's about devotion. Like, you know.
I just can't think of one thing that made me laugh in that movie. And I've seen it about five times.
The fat people? Look, shout out. If this in some horrible reality, this was a DreamWorks film, how many farts would be in the scene where they're in the Axiom and the spaceship in the sky where everyone's fat? And
at least one of those fart jokes would have been funny.
And Mike Myers would have voiced the fart. And it would have had a prequel.
I'm a fart!
It would have had a prequel spin-off film.
I smell like a pie!
Yeah, that would have been it.
Yeah, but so Wall-E, second tier, sorry.
Yeah.
And Finding Nemo, I find that, what's the main character's name?
Marlon.
He's too flawed of a character. Like, you
his
know,
wife did
like,
get killed, like, though, and
know,
he's like 35
like, yeah,
other children.
But like, you can spend the entire movie going, like, it's not you, it's not your son who needs to learn, it's you, god damn it.
But again, I mean, this is why I'm interested. In this, I mean, that film was by Andrew Stanton, and he had the same problems with letting his kid go. And I think, I know Pete Docter, who's done Up and Monsters University, and now Inside Out. His big problem was his daughter's 11 now, and he was like, what is going through? Well, not now. She was 9, probably, whatever, when the film started. But the thing that I like about the Pixar films is always a story.
Oh, dude, all the best Pixar movies
and they're
are
all based
about
off,
parenting.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what Nemo was. Andrew Stanton was like, I don't know what to do about my son. I'm so, like, he was an overprotective father. He dealt with that by making, like, the highest grossing animated film of that time. And isn't Up the highest?
Take that, you stupid kid.
Take that. Get back inside your pen. Daddy's always right. I don't know. When I have a cat, she's very cool.
She's sitting on your lap right
she's
now.
She's sitting on my lap right now because she's right in front of the heater. But when she goes missing, occasionally it happens, and it doesn't last for more than 20 minutes, and she comes back, I have my own private, like my own private Idaho, I have my own private Nemo. And that last scene when he's holding, this is the scene that always gets me. You have your scene in Toy Story, makes you cry. Mine is when he's holding Nemo, the egg at the start, nursing it after the attack.
Yeah.
And at the end, he's like, Daddy's here, it's okay. Because I like to think of myself as a single parent with my cat. And when she comes back, I just hold my cat, and all I see is Marlon's little fins wrapped around that little cracked egg, and I'm just like, we are one and the same, man. And I'm like,
if anyone from dailylife.com.au is listening, Angus would love to write for you.
Yeah, that's thanks. I really get emotional there. That's
my crying Nemo scene is the bit where Marlon tells Dory to fuck off at the end. And Dora
that's,
like,
that's,
no,
that's another
with you,
sad
I feel
one
like,
too.
Oh, that destroys
me. I feel like you're
I'm,
home.
I'm pretty excited about finding
Dude,
Dory.
Dude, Stan's, it's same director.
Yeah, and Ellen is incredible as that fish.
That, I know everyone said Ellen's talk show made her again. That movie made her, like, amazing.
I actually also love watching Ellen.
Oh, man, who doesn't?
If anyone from Daily Life is listening.
If anyone from Daily Life is listening, I love when Kanye's on Ellen. And also, Kendrick Lamar only done his one live performance on that show for his album. Yeah, it's so weird. He has interpretive dancing going on behind him and also an artist painting him while he's singing and then they present the image at the end.
That's fantastic.
It's so meta. Inside Out.
Inside Out was the first Pixar movie I've seen as a parent. So that really made it, I don't know, it brought a whole new level to the Pixar experience. But before I get to talking about it, we've talked about the first tier, talked about the second tier, third tier, Monsters University and Bug's Life.
Uh-huh.
They're like pretty good movies.
And again, that's really interesting because as we know, Monsters University, the whole plot, it's Revenge of the Nerds. You know, I remember that even, I forget who made it. I'm usually pretty good with, I know nothing about anything else except directors of Pixar films. I think it was his first film, their first film. And he's like, oh, it's Revenge of the Nerds. And Bug's Life was Seven Samurai.
Oh, right.
That's the same thing. You know, the band of of bandits walk into town and have to pretend to be the warriors and have to pretend to be the samurai. I mean, have you ever seen Seven Samurai? The classic?
And the Western version.
Yeah, Magnificent Seven. Yep. And that's Bug's Life. I mean, that's similar. It's interesting you put them on the same tier because they're both obvious, like, Marshes, remakes. Yeah, sure.
And then the bottom tier is Cars 2, and Brave.
No, it goes Brave, Cars on the same, and then 90 million tiers below Cars 2.
Not that we've ever seen it or have thought of seeing it.
I still just... This is when I got worried. I remember when... I've seen John Lasseter in, like, even in the Studio Ghibli DVDs and the Pixar ones, he would come out and he's kind of like... He's a big ball of life. He's like a big child. And I usually take everything he says for granted, but he did say... Now, for Cars 2, the idea was... Remember, who's the redneck character in Cars? Larry the cable guy? Whatever his character was. Like, the character...
Larry the Dickhead.
The character that kind of like resonates with a certain voting demographic in America nobody else.
Yeah.
Like no one else on an international scale. Everybody has toys. Well, no. Everyone who's going to the cinema has toys. Therefore, they can relate to Toy Story. You know, like Pixar films are so universal.
That's straight up.
But then there's this character which is kind of like so... I mean, that movie is a love story, love letter for America, as is. It's about highways, it's about small town values. It's about... You know, that's a very American Pixar film.
It's about Italian stereotypes.
But I remember hearing his idea for the movie was... He went to a lot of premieres and stuff for Toy Story 3 around the world. He did Tokyo. He did Rome. And he's like, the whole time I was doing these, I was a bit out of... Like a bit of a fish out of water myself. And I was like, I wonder what... Mater, that's his name. I wonder what he would be doing in these situations. And that made the film like, that's not a movie pitch. That's something you keep to yourself, you dumb shit. Like, that does not create a good film.
Or it's like a 5-minute bonus thing you throw on a
Blu-ray.
It's
one of those bonus things. It's him. It's not a 90-minute movie.
And a lot of good actors, because Helen Mirren?
She's Monsters University. Michael Caine?
Michael Caine?
Paul, what's the...
you know what?
Paul Newman.
Paul Newman.
Paul Newman
was
in
the first Cars.
Yeah.
And now he's dead,
but
RIP.
Man, you've got goddamn...
No, but weren't there some good voices... Owen Wilson. In the second one, though, that are only in the second one, like a bunch of British actors play spies.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's your Pixar movie. Your Pixar movie is...
I think Michael Caine is one of them, actually. That's wild. I think there's like a classic, like, British bro.
There's a Cars 2 fan listening going like, no, you fucking dickheads, it's
there's
Jude
Law! There's a
Cars
2 fan right now just like booking in a tattoo removal appointment going, good to get Lightning McQueen taken off me stat.
And I get the word car so fan taken off my forehead.
Pete, you were first time parent.
Yeah, let's fucking talk about Inside Out. It was the first time I've been in a cinema since Toy Story 4.
And he's done the same director, I've got to say, he's done your two second tier films. He's done Monsters, Inc.
And Monsters Inc. my absolute favorite.
Oh, well, there you go. He did Monsters Inc. and Up, so that's his criminal record in the Pixar jail.
That's a good slate.
Actually, side note: do you know I sent an internship to Pixar, and they said, because I've worked on a film before out here and stuff. And
how old were you?
15. I worked on the film. No, but this was when I was 25.
Uh-huh.
And because of my visa, they said no, they'd love to have me, but didn't get on there. So,
Oh damn.
Sorry for bad mouthing Cars too, but if you're listening, just
take it back, man.
Take it back, man. Help a pal out.
What kind of jobs do you think you would have to do as
you
a Pixar intern?
You could play online. There was actually questions.
What would you do though as a Pixar intern?
Probably like tickle people. It just seems like ride on a moped and tickle people.
Go make up some baby names towards the end of a production.
Yeah.
There's no way that many fucking babies were born during a movie.
It's like World War II. It's like people that work at Pixar, like they make baby boomers. It's just like all people are doing is banging. Obviously, you go to any Pixar movie, the end of the credits, all the babies that were made, I'm like, Jesus.
Yeah. And all right, great, guys. We turn in the storyboard. Everyone, go home.
Fuck. We've got nine months of animation. Do it. They must have like an office pool, like whoever can get the last kid out like before the premiere probably gets, I don't know, an iPod or something. That's just a really good incentive.
An iPod with or they get a lamp.
They get an iPod with nothing but Randy Newman on there. It's just every random I said, you're my friend.
Inside Out though. It was the first time seeing a Pixar movie, being in the cinema and going, this is what watching a Pixar movie feels like. I was crying.
Yeah,
I was moved. I was laughing. Oh, the laughs.
I mean, for those who don't know, and what an idiot. If you don't know it, it's such a Pixar pitch though. It's what if the emotions inside somebody's head were characters? And that's the movie. And it's amazing.
And we're going to be the only podcast that talks about Inside Out that does not mention that BuzzFeed thing that are like, what are the... I've already mentioned it. We fucked up.
Damn it. You screwed up. Look, we're not going to edit that out, but imagine in a perfect world we edit that out. And it's like these emotions. Look, it's about an 11-year-old girl. She has to move town. Obviously the most terrifying thing an 11-year-old girl.
But so like you have for a Pixar movie, like ridiculously low stake.
Low stake, but also it was such a small... I found that too. I mean, the stakes are within her head. That's the beautiful thing about it. The action and everything, which you do get some always in a Pixar movie, some sweet action sequences. They're all inside her head. Like they didn't exist. Mm. And they're all subconscious as well. Like she's not...
Yeah, I mean, so much care went into how the inside of her mind works, and
there were so many moments where you go, "Aha!" Like the moment where you're like, "I know what that feels like," and
the tech inside her head checked out. Amazing. Man, checked out.
It checked out. Hey, I had my best guys go through it, and they said, "Yeah, squeaky clean." It was beautiful, and I thought the voice cast was great.
Yeah. Oh, the voice cast. It was like the best. Like. It was almost a better Amy Poehler role than...
Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
It was literally like her audition for this was 7 seasons of Parks and Rec.
That's all she had to do.
That's what she did, be happy. Well, not season one. She played a different character then.
That's true.
Shout outs to US Office and Parks and Rec where you just did U-turns for season two. You changed your lead character.
You know, let's make a good show now.
Yeah, let's not do that one. Look, the start unfortunately for me was ruined. I kind of, and this is my fault, I went at 3 p.m. on a Sunday afternoon. Kid Central...
Right.
Not for legal reasons, but I don't like being in a cinema full of kids, especially because I'm like one of those guys that like lingers on every line. I studied film, so I'm a real wanker. I like listen to every line of the script. I have to like, even here, if someone's talking while I watch something, I just pause it because I'm like, out of respect to the writer, out of respect to the fucking like best boy who handed that script to someone on set or something, I have to listen to every single...
My new thing now at movies is trying to get everybody to applause as the credits start rolling.
Oh, really?
I got everyone to do it after Jurassic World.
Oh, yeah. Mine was unanimous.
You know, there's that brilliant moment where, like, if someone starts applauding, everyone's like, oh, fuck, I better start clapping.
Mm.
And if you time it right... You can get that whole...
Do you get
cinema.
Off on that? Is that just like a Just Levens things type of... clapping at the end of cinema?
Yeah, probably the most popular Just Levens things.
Well, look, the movie just started and there was all these kids running around. And this is... Look, you can do the parent. I'm doing the non-parent review. Kids are running around. It wasn't cute because they weren't mine.
Like, fuck parents. Fuck
well,
kids.
No, I'm down with parents. I'm down with kids. But I was just like, I'm trying to watch a movie here. Then the lights came on. You know, the lights before even the preview start, everything came on. And because I'm so married to when I want to hear every line. I want to hear every beat of the script. Again, it makes me sound like a wanker because it's an animated film. But no,
it does.
I paid for this movie ticket. I'm going to watch it all. That stubbornness kicked in. And it was just kind of this stalemate.
Were you shushing?
No, I wasn't shushing. I was squinting because the lights were so bright. It took away from...
Yeah, why were the lights on? That makes
I don't know.
Sense.
Wait,
just for the previews or for the little
for
short
the movie,
film?
No, everything went black. Like, for the previews, everything went black. Then it went to that... next stage of absolute darkness when the film's about to start. After the short, that was great. That was all in blackness. Then as the movie started, everything came back on again.
I would have asked people, my money back.
Well, even though I didn't need it, you know how this movie is really exposition heavy.
You didn't need
heavy.
Your money?
I didn't need my money. It's not about the money anymore. Like, I got that angry. It was more of about just having a formal apology projected on a screen. That there's so much... It's pretty exposition heavy, that first 5 minutes, because it basically sets up. It's like, the movie is this. It's set in this person's head. This is all the this is how everything operates.
Yeah, well, she like Amy Poehler really carries this, like explains how everything works and why.
Didn't get it
blah,
because
blah.
It was bright, couldn't see anything, and nobody, everyone was too proud to leave their seats to go and tell somebody.
Oh,
and it was
damn.
Terrible. So I'm like, I'm so tempted to go back and just watch 10 minutes. Just,
right.
And not pay for it.
And so the lights did come back off?
After about 10 minutes, literally.
Damn.
I was furious.
That's rough, bro.
I was furious.
Were you alone?
No, and I just kept explaining my distaste to say that, well, why don't you do anything? Well, because I want to see what happens. It's like, you know, it's just like, it was such a horrible bratty. My emotions were, you know, if they did an inside out on me, everyone would be really pissed off.
My secret to seeing movies now is the 7 o'clock session on a Monday night.
Yeah. So that, but
empty.
I asked for it. I went to a 3 p.m. on a Sunday.
What a blunder.
Opening weekend for a kid's movie. Like, they may as well handed me a big lollipop and stuck sucker on my phone, because that's what I felt
you
like.
You may as well have gone to the tattoo parlor
and asked for damage.
Fuck me up, fam. Quit sucker. Dumbass.
What a goof. We're going to speak about Bing Bong. If we're talking about Inside Out.
Oh, Bing Bong.
Bing Bong is the mass suicide scene of Toy Story for this film. Like, it is that moment.
No, so I, my horrible thing that I've decided to do to my son is...
Docs, if you're listening, this is when the Exhibit A begins for future references.
So, from Toy Story 3,
yep.
I bought the...
Yeah, you have the bear.
The talking Lotso.
What's his name? Lotso
Huggin' Bear.
Lotso Huggin' Bear, yeah. And it smells like strawberry.
And he's like, hello, is anybody there? Need a hug.
I remember that.
It's an adorable toy. My son Archie, like, adores it. Thinks it's the best thing ever.
So when you show him how
when
much
I show
of a villain
him
he
Toy
is...
Story 3, he's gonna be like, why?
Like a kid.
Why did my favorite toy try and kill the main character?
You know, that's like
movie.
A kid you've read on, like, the Clone Wars TV series and the prequels of Star Wars, and they have no idea what's coming. And then they watch, like, the other ones, and like, hang on, the guy that I dress up as a kid, the guy who I play, you're telling me he's like, he murdered children and like basically committed genocide? It's horrible.
But without spoiling any part of Inside Out,
Bing Bong,
Mr. Bing Bong is going to be the toy that I buy my son to just make sure he has a messed up childhood.
To get him to the moon.
But yeah, that was.
And it was Richard Kind.
Yeah,
Cousin Andy from Curb.
And
he's in
Sin
everything.
City.
Yeah.
Was it Sin City? No, what's his name? Big City. Spin City.
Spin City.
With Michael J. Fox.
Michael J. Fox.
That's what I grew up with him.
Also Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, oh, great. Perfect. Tiger Blood.
Also
winning.
I loved it.
Yeah, it was an incredible movie.
It was a big return to form. Not that they've slipped too much besides the movies we don't see.
Where do you put it, though? Tier system? I put it... in that little second tier.
Number two?
I put it alongside Up. I put it alongside...
You know what? I have to see it again because I'm a big fan of anything. I just thought the message was amazing. Like, I've never seen a film that dealt with mental health that wasn't like Girl Interrupted or something.
Mm.
And it was such an accessible... I think it's cool that mental health gets like big shout outs and stuff. And I think it's going to be a really important movie for parents to explain feelings. Like, I think out of all of their films where there are some dumbass cynics who are like, oh, Toy Story is about... people that care for commodities, blah, blah, blah. Shut up. Like, what? It's a great piece of art. Doesn't matter if the characters were fucking clouds. Like, it's still an amazing movie.
Yeah.
They just happen to be toys. This movie, I just think, is such a pure... Like, there is nothing at fault. There's no cynic... No one... Anyone that's cynical about this, they have the worst emotions. And look,
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Bump did what he did to you. You know it?
Family Guy devotees.
They voted on the Lego ideas, Big Bang Theory. But yeah, it's just, it's such a pure, you know, it's beautiful.
I thought it was incredible that not only is it like the motto at the end of it isn't, you know, you should try and be happy all the time. It isn't even like, you know, you can't always be happy. It's like you
sad
shouldn't,
is happy.
No, it's like you shouldn't always be happy.
Yeah. And like, that beautiful, even though it was a slight visual thing, just seeing the memories as, and you know, it's like a bowling alley when the ball gets sucked up and it goes and stacks against the other balls. That's what it looks like then inside the mind. I like even a good headquarters. Like it was just brilliant. Like calling the thing, it was so good. But just seeing those at the end of it, they're all perfectly colored, meaning like one was a perfectly happy, angry, sad. Everything was a mixture of so many emotions. It's like there's no such thing as like 100%
totally
happy, 100% sad, 100%. Like everything's a marriage, all of these different things. And it was just so nice. And I think like, man, that's just a movie. Like, yeah, that's something that it's beautiful.
Yeah, I really want to go see it again.
I'll go to see it again. I'll get to give this fucking first 10 minutes. I'm going to go at a midnight screening by myself in a trench coat and get arrested or something. But
gross.
Yeah, no, I need to catch those 10 minutes. I'm so
angry. Just the word trench coat sends shivers down my spine. The main reason I want to see it again is one of my favorite parts was the two security guards that were the guards of...
Yes. You know, one of them was Frank Oz.
Yeah, Frank Oz and Dave
Muppets.
Getz, yeah, the other Muppet dude.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah.
I was like, that's Yoda.
But
that's Yoda.
I swear they were just improvising.
Like, oh, totally.
They were like, is that your hat? No, it's my hat. Like, it was just, I just want to... Like,
great creepy clown scene too.
I want to block out all other dialogue that's happening during that scene and just only listen to their
Yeah, no, it was beautiful. It seemed like a huge, like I had so many little traits that I think, like tropes and stuff that I think a lot of Pixar may have forgotten about in some of the more recent films, and it just had those little character moments, like, you know, like in Monsters Inc., where you see these people talking in the background, and
yeah,
and absolutely. Even though they have no names, they're credited as nothing, but they're better fully fledged characters than most characters in other films.
Yeah, if anyone really wants me to like really go into why I think Monsters Inc. is the perfect Pixar,
we'll do an
movie,
episode about it.
I'll just I can talk at length on why that is the best of all the Pixar movies.
You know, that when I grew up in like a pissant kind of town outside of...
Shouts to Wollongong.
No, south of Wollongong. It's not even Wollongong.
Not even
it's like
Wollongong, man.
No, and we got a brand new cinema built, and that was... It opened on a Thursday night, and that's the night movies start in Australia. And that was the first film that was on there. And I have so many warm memories of middle high school... seeing that film. And yeah, I saw that film a bunch of times at the cinema. I love that film. You'll see up there, there's a Sully up there.
Yep. My son's got a Sully hat.
It's brilliant. And it's you know, like when you go to, have you ever been to like Disneyland's in other countries? Like I could do a theme park episode. You and I are just like
the Tokyo Disney, the Monsters Inc. ride with the
obsessed.
Flashlights.
Yeah,
have you done that?
Yeah.
It was the one of the best things. I had to line up 2 hours to go on.
Isn't
it
funny
it was so worth
when
it.
You go to these other countries? When I say other countries, I mean these non-Western
and
countries.
Just, they don't eat the food we eat. They don't talk the words we say.
They're crossing streets the other way. But it's funny to see which characters over there are huge. You know, like Stitch from Lilo and Stitch. You know, he's like a god in Japan, but nowhere else.
Yeah, it's
that's
insane.
Just because he looks like an anime character or something. Like,
well, they made that movie to appeal to that.
Yeah, totally. But it's amazing, and it's like he's everywhere. Like you go to pet stores, and you can just buy Stitch outfits for everyone. Not even Mickey and Minnie. Not even like the fucking like pillars.
Yeah.
Of these guys, it's really interesting. But yeah, man, Inside Out, go see it. Shit.
And the short film before it,
Lava
the volcano
was great.
Lava, yeah. Fantastic.
And you know that guy's gonna be winning an Oscar in 10 years for his first Pixar feature. Like that's how they do it. You know, they
straight
make,
up. Yeah.
They do like they do a small one, and then it's like, yeah, it's what you can see why I want to intern them. I want to tickle people and
buskers everywhere. If you really want to make a couple bucks, you should learn that song.
Yeah,
because I reckon that's going to be a hot busking anthem.
Yeah, definitely.
Inside Out, perfect, really, really great movie. Great return for Pixar, and another notch in the incredibly large hat that is Disney.
Yeah, man. Like speaking of Disney,
now we've got Spider-Man on the way.
Levins and I, huge comic boys. Huge boys.
Big time comic boys. And one of your favorite characters, Angus, is
Spider-Man.
Spidey,
yeah.
The webhead.
And look, I don't want to say like, because it's not me why I love him. The thing is, everyone's an outcast in high school. Like, To a degree. Oh, you weren't. All right, we're not all Ferris Bueller. Look, not even about being an outcast, but I mean, you think you're different.
I just talked about my feelings, like about Pixar. There's no feelings attached.
I mean,
to Spider-Man
and that's Spider-Man's thing. I mean, the beauty of Spider-Man. I'm speaking about Spider-Man in the comics. He looks up to other heroes. He looks up to his Iron Mans. He looks up to the X-Men. He looks up to Captain America, the Avengers. Like, oh, it could be one of those. But he's going to go deliver pizzas because he needs to make money to look after his aunt. You know what
and
I mean?
And he's always struggling to just be a normal dude.
Yeah.
And he struggles to be Peter Parker, let alone Spider-Man.
And not a lot of comics.
Spoiler alert, Spider-Man is Peter Parker.
He got bitten by a spider. His name's Peter Parker. His parents are nerd.
So after seeing...
But I think that's rare in comic characters as well. A lot of them are kind... There's a lot of this...
Sure.
I'm cursed and, oh, it's my thing to do this. And he is, like, barely keeping it together as a hero, let alone barely keeping it together as, like, financially, like, romantically, socially. Like, he's just... And I think that's why we like him. Like, he's poor. He's not cool. And he's just such a relatable character. And I think that's why, you know... And a great quote, and, you know, we'll get into this in a moment, that someone from Marvel said is the beauty of Spider-Man is under that mask, he could be anybody. And I think that's great that you don't see skin color... You don't see anything. Like, it is literally that mask.
Totally.
It's so iconic. To the point now where other sexes are, you know, Spider-Man as well as other races. I'll ask Spider-Gwen. But we will get into this.
We've got plenty of episodes to talk about the Spider-Verse.
So, look, yeah, as we know, Sony had the rights for Spider-Man for a long time. Though I thought the casting was great in Andrew Garfield. Didn't do it.
The second movie. I mean, the first movie was okay.
It was fine. Look, no, they were huge missteps.
But the second movie was just like... You know, Batman and Robin levels
it was just
were
like,
bad. Too many characters.
All these mistakes have been made before and you should have known better.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? It was like, like, what are you doing? Like, you saw the problem with Spider-Man 3. You saw the problem with any overstuffed movie. It was Spider-Man 3 again. You know, that's what it was. The movie that killed the franchise.
They were like, yeah, why, let's skip the really good second movie from...
And go straight to 3.
And just go straight to the shit one.
It should have all been Harry... Like, and the problem is... I thought Garfield was great casting, but the problem, even with the Tobey Maguire films... The existing Sony franchise. They seem obsessed with, in the first film, him graduating high school and being an adult.
Totally.
Both films are about him graduating. And, like, that the best thing about Spider-Man, I've always liked, the high school years, the characters in high school.
Totally.
Him being in class, him not being able to... Him getting in trouble for not handing in an essay, and then, as a result, watching New York crumble around him while he should be out there defending it, and having this guilt of, do I go protect the city, or do I have to, like, further my...
He has a thing that he always says. It's like,
it's something about power and responsibility.
It's not important. He only says it once, and that it's left at that.
I covered it up with my tattoo, with my Lightning McQueen tattoo. So.
Yeah. Oh man, how good would it be if this Spider-Man, the new Spider-Man for the new Marvel Universe, has with great power comes great responsibility tattooed on his head?
R.I.P. Uncle Ben. Just like, yeah, on his he has mom, dad, Uncle Ben, like heart, love hearts. Yeah, yeah. But, so yeah,
and he has the thwip, 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 thwip. Written all
he
over
doesn't
his
shoot
chest.
Web, but it's implied.
Yeah.
So yeah, Sony screwed up big time. As we found out, funnily enough, via WikiLeaks with all the leaked emails. Like, months before this happened, this was already kind of leaked, that Sony was shitting themselves so much that... Because I think they lose James Bond this film as well.
Really?
I think after this film, James Bond is up for franchise purchasing, like all anyone, right. Like
go Disney.
Yeah, seriously, Disney get James Bond. Their theme parks are gonna get even cooler. Like James Bond rides, holy shit! But I think that, you know, they're grasping at straws. Hence them trying to create 9 Ghostbusters spin-offs.
Sure.
So big trouble. Spider-Man, once upon a time, the most profitable character of theirs, stinking big time. Calling help from, you know, the enemy.
Yeah, yeah. Who knows how that happened? But
who knows how it happened? I think they mutually needed each other.
Marvel and the deal doesn't make much sense.
Apparently, well, I think weirdly enough, it makes sense in a non-Hollywood way, where it's like no one's making extra money out of this, but it mutually mutually beneficial. It seems like
Marvel have. What
they're producing
they have,
the films.
They're producing and they have,
but they're still Sony films.
Creative input as well.
Kevin Feige is still...
Fiegi.
Is it like Guy Fieri? So like, can we call him Kevin Fieri?
Perfect.
Kevin Fieri, who is the head of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, he is like... I would have hated to be here. You in these WikiLeaks, you see his responses. Remember, Sony would be sending him, like, these are the ideas for the movie. He's like, that's why Spider-Man 3 sucked. Don't do that. Like, you can see his email responses in his WikiLeaks.
I don't check him out. I don't read many WikiLeaks, but
it's what I do in my spare.
Is there a WikiLeaks app that I can subscribe
Julian
to?
Will hook you up. Julian.
Once he's finished in The Witcher 3.
Once he's finished saving the Witchland. Land in Witcher 3. And he's just like, don't do that. This is stupid. That's it. Why would Peter do that? And they just ignored everything. So he's going to be looking after Peter's cinematic appearance. Sony are going to be like, great, we can have Iron Man, we can have Captain America, we can have all these people jump into our films.
In the Spider-Man movies, yeah, perfect. And, you know, hopefully they do that grand plan to do multiple Spider Universe movies through Sony. Like, hopefully we get the Sinister Six and we get a Venom movie.
That was a bummer I found of this, the last series universe dying, because the next film was going to be a Sinister Six film.
Yeah, but I didn't really want that Sinister Six to be the starring role.
No, but I mean, the idea of that's great. I mean, it's your anti-Avengers movie. Root for the... Like, that to me is awesome.
And they've been beaten to that by Suicide Squad. Totally. It was hopefully going to be the first anti-hero movie.
But also, the thing I liked about it was seeing Marvel villains who are good, because you know, like, how much I don't like the Marvel cinematic villains.
Totally, yeah. Whereas all the Spider-Man villains have such a...
They're always like a Frankenstein. He always has that classic, like, you were my mentor and now you've turned against... You know what I mean?
Yeah,
he's
totally.
Always got some dead parent link to it, or, oh, Parker, you're a gen... And it's hammy, and New York's way bigger than that, but I really like that there's always a personal kind of... I created you, and everyone's a Frankenstein. I think the science thing's great. Like, they always create themselves. There's always a Dr. Jekyll Hyde shit. It's cool. But yeah, they cast this young kid, another British dude.
I don't. What's his name? I don't know.
Tom. I wrote it down. I actually did some like form of note taking, but I've deleted the email, so I'm reading this from my
trash.
Shout
out to notes and preparation.
Tom Holland, and for once he's a teenager, because I read Tobey Maguire was 30 in the first Spider-Man.
That's so fucked.
Andrew
up.
Garfield was 29, and that's Kevin Fieri has said. This Kevin Fieri, little known younger brother of Guy, great chef. If you're ever in any of, if you're ever in Las
America.
Vegas, if you're in Las Vegas especially, tell him Angus sent you. But Tom Holland, as young Spidey, they say
he's like 13, 14, right?
19.
Oh, he's 19.
I think all the press shots that came out of him when he was super young, because he's the type of kid who hasn't appeared in a lot, they said he's going to be in high school. He's not graduating. They're like, they've realized. This is what's going to happen. Young director too. He's only done two films. I think he's done like a horror movie, like just low budget indie stuff. And they said, this is what I find interesting. Like Ant-Man, which isn't out yet, which we're going to be obviously chatting about. Let's go see it together. And then.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Ant-Man, they've said it's a heist movie. And you know, for these phase
it's
two.
It's a date.
It's a heist date. I'm going to have to steal you from your bank.
My family.
Yeah. Your fam. Hey fam. It's a heist movie. You know, Guardians of the Galaxy was kind of like a sci-fi movie. Now, this second phase has been about that. Third phase, this new Spider-Man movie. They say, the pitch is Kevin Fieri's like, oh, it's a John Hughes film. Like, we are going to try and make a John Hughes movie. And I'm like, that is perfect. Like, you need to balance that humor. The thing was, these last, even Tobey Maguire especially, humorless Spider-Man.
Totally. So dark and brooding.
Just like, be funny. Like, the whole thing was, he's like a kid who, once he puts that mask on, he's a rock star, and he will be calling bullies what he wants to call them every day in the locker room.
I think a lot of people didn't really respond very well to the recent Andrew Garfield Spider-Man because they were used to Tobey Maguire
being broody.
Yeah, and so like, my wife was like, why is Spider-Man making jokes all the time? I'm like, that's
Spider-Man.
Like his superpower.
Yeah, he's a jerk, and the like. If you see in the comics, a horrible phrase.
If you read the comics, wife, I think you'll find that he's quite the character.
He's quite the comedian, but you know every other character rolls their eyes at him because they're like, he's like a dad joke.
Yeah, totally.
And they're just like, yeah, thanks, Peter. Like, we
Spider
got
dad.
But I look, I'm pumped.
I'm really pumped about the news that they also revealed that we're going to be seeing an entirely new bad guy who hasn't been seen in the cinematic universe
and
before.
And we were saying, who do you think is going to be? Who would you like to see for this first film? And they're not doing origin either. He's like,
it's
done
today. Like, everyone knows what the fuck. He's a guy. He has spider powers.
I mean,
great power.
Again, Kevin Fieri said that how their approach is going to be. He's been around since pre-Avengers in this universe. So he's been a kid who's been around for
about
2 years.
Well, we're going to see him in the next Captain America movie.
That's where he's going to make his debut
in Civil War,
which
Which side will he be on? Who knows?
I mean, which is weird because in the Civil War comics, he goes public and says, "I am Peter Parker."
He's both sides,
but he also reveals his identity, yeah, which totally. There's no way he's doing that now.
No, I think it's the we'll get into this closer to the date, but I think that they're gonna Civil War is not gonna be anything like the comics.
This ain't your grandpa's Civil War. Well, wait, no, that was about slavery. This ain't your this ain't your stepdad's Civil War. Yeah,
this ain't your older brother's Civil War.
Yeah, no, I mean, well. Yeah, we'll get into it later, obviously, as to why it won't be. But
yeah, so they're going to have an entirely new Spider-Man bad guy. Spider-Man.
James Spider-Man, Ultron.
He has a rogues gallery of bad guys.
I'd say after Batman, for me personally, best rogues gallery there is.
It probably goes Batman, Spider-Man, Flash for best rogues gallery.
Really? You're down with Flash's rogues? Flash, I don't know Flash a lot. Rogues. I know Captain Freeze.
Captain Cold.
Captain Freeze. What an asshole. Just really? You're down with Flashes?
Oh man, Flash has
Gorilla Grodd.
Gorilla Grodd. So, I mean, they're the really fun ones, but then you have like Reverse Flash and the Mirror Master and so many
the
great.
Prankster.
The Prankster, Mark Hamill.
Not a watered down version of the Riddler and Joker. Yeah, he is.
I mean, no, but they all have their own. It's the backstories that were created
later.
Yeah, and. Yeah, they're just like good characters even without being supervillains.
Okay.
But Spider-Man has a great rogues gallery. So
even from
so diverse.
Venom to like, you know, Doc Octopus, like huge, like a thick rogues gallery.
And hopefully, there's so many different ones. It would be great if they
Vulture, or
Black Cat even would be great.
Black Cat would be cool.
Because if they're going to have it like a nice, cool, grounded high school movie, Black
you need
Cat,
a babe who's
Black Cat
shit.
Would be perfect.
Yeah, that Black Cat's Felicia Hardy, who's this...
Who they kind of had in the last movie.
But she was like an intern or something.
And she didn't do anything of note.
They probably had great plans for her in this weird reality where the Amazing Spider-Man 2
They probably were
going to
put her in a bikini. It was going to be the best.
Yeah, that was
their plan.
Yeah, and now, you know...
She's in a bikini and she steals a jewel.
Shut
Spider-Man
up and take
5.
My money. Yeah. Yeah, I think it could be anyone. I personally would love... I'd like Mysterio.
Mysterio could be amazing. Mysterio is a character that...
special effects.
Yeah, and he can get into your mind and make you...
But is he like... Didn't he work in special effects? Isn't that his... Am I thinking of Ultimate Mysterio?
No, he does... No, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, there's been so many
they
iterations.
All merged, well, as characters. They... As we're about to... They merge together, all these Ultimates and this...
Should we talk about that?
Yeah, well, look...
I mean, Chameleon would be great too. He puts
Chameleon
faces
would be good.
On.
Chameleon's like your
look,
clay
there,
face.
There,
I mean, again...
So many good Spider-Man bad guys.
I'd love? Kingpin, even though... And now they're part of the universe. That would be
awesome.
They
just use the Kingpin from the Daredevil
Wilson
TV
Fisk, shows, that's what I mean. It's all part of the same universe. If you get Wilson Fisk, Kingpin... Because I really
Vincent
like
D'Onofrio
the Kingpin.
Did such a good job.
Oh, that only Marvel villain I'm down with.
Loki,
but yeah... Even then,
you're low-key into Loki.
I'm low-key. I'm more like low-key.
Because Marvel's worst trope is that they don't put much time and effort into their cinematic bad guys.
And I've said this to you before. I loved Guardians of the Galaxy a lot, except their villain, who...
is Ronan. Ronan the Accuser. He is one of my favorite cosmic villains.
He's amazing in the comics. And I mean, in the lead up... What's the lead up
to the... There's so many reasons why. He's not a bad guy.
He's not a bad guy. He's misunderstood.
It's
his job.
It's his job to be...
He's like the judge.
He's
like the judge of the guy.
And he's speaking...
What's the series the lead up to... the Annihilation series.
Yeah,
he's amazing in that.
Yeah, incredible.
And if you ever want to get back to basically... Guardians of the Galaxy is based off a run from about 5 years ago, you'd say.
Like, well, yeah, I mean, the Guardians of the Galaxy has been around as a franchise in Marvel
itself,
for a while.
The run,
but yeah, the characters that you know and love.
The run that they're basing it off was one from about 5 years ago.
By Dan Abnett and Andy
awesome.
Lanning.
And
it's spun out of an incredible thing called Annihilation, incredible event called Annihilation.
Yeah, and usually events are very hit or miss. Annihilation is just sick.
Yeah, and then they did another one called Annihilation Conquest, and that's really good too.
Yeah.
I highly recommend binge reading.
Binge read it. That's where you meet your Star-Lord. It's where you meet your Rocket Raccoon.
And you got Nova as well. And then you have like expanded Guardians roster that includes one of my favorite characters ever called Bug, and he is literally a space bug.
And Cosmo the dog.
Yeah. Oh my god. And who made allusions? He was kind of in.
There's allusions to it in the film, and I think there will be more about
Cosmo's so good. Cosmo's so badass.
He's a Russian dog.
He's just a dog. He's the original. He's the dog that
the Russian space dog Latka. Latka. The dog that Russian shot into space, and he's now in the comics. This is our new segment, In the Comics.
Welcome to In the Comics.
It's the segment where you smell your own farts and read comics and bask in the glory that you have time to read comics. But yeah, he's the Russian dog, and he's like wound
his
up
psychic
with
powers,
and he like is at HQ, isn't he? He's like, oh, he's like,
yeah, he's the head of nowhere. Cave.
Yeah, the head of nowhere.
It's
the
best. Anyway,
it's awesome.
The next few episodes will be less comic-centric, but we'll be less awkward about talking about them because we'll just own it.
Yeah, you know, I feel like there's a stigma that's like, date.
Yeah, I read comics.
It'll be like when you bring a girl back and the first few times you hide you, you pretend you're just into cool shit like aftershave and like, you know.
I don't read books.
But put it on that burning book pile over there, honey. You know, like, and then like, you know, fourth time you're just like, I'm actually just gonna read this comic. It's like. Yeah. You know, the true color show. We're going
to
get like that.
Fourth episode, that's what you have to look forward to.
Yeah.
Marvel have just, we'll talk about this very quickly.
Huge, again, status quo change.
Incredible event going on right now, written by one of my favorite comic book writers, Jonathan Hickman. It's called Secret Wars. It's a revisit to a really great 80s event.
80s run, where Spider-Man, in fact, got his black suit from.
Oh, that's
the
right.
Famous black suit.
That then became the Venom.
And they only did that because they're worried that he wasn't dark enough.
Right. And they were like, let's make him...
They wouldn't have edgier and they wouldn't
Spinal Tap way, none more black.
Yeah, and it was a pretty cool suit before it got really evil and became a, you know, alien symbiote.
But so now that Secret Wars is this fantastic event which happens with all the different universes that are Marvel Comics
I think before
colliding together.
Yeah, look, for those that don't know, 20-second history lesson, about 10 years ago when comic book movies were the shit, the problem was if Marvel realized, and they were in the late 90s, early 2000s, Marvel were bankrupt.
You were going to run out of 20 seconds so fast.
No, but they were bankrupt, and they were like, shit, all these kids are going to want to go straight after see the Spider-Man and X-Men movie, which were reigning at the time. I want to go read a comic. They'd walk in there, they're up to volume 24, issue 633.
Yeah, it's like,
scratch their head, no, none of the characters.
Died 12 times.
Yeah, and then, so how do we come up with it? Let's just start a new universe, has nothing to do with the classic comics that... your grandpa's Civil War Spider-Man comics, but these are the, we call it the Ultimate Universe. And look, Peter Parker doesn't work for the Daily Bugle. He's the webmaster. He's not the photographer. He's the webmaster for it. You know, it was kind of retelling.
Really, and a much more, it was like around, 2000.
2000,
and, yeah. 2000. And so they relaunched it.
Bendis launched it with Spider-Man, which to this day is still going. Just stopped.
So basically they started, they called it the Ultimate Universe, and they had a new relaunched X-Men, a new Spider-Man,
a Black
new
Nick Fury, all these
Avengers,
new things.
Yeah.
Funnily enough, all of the ideas from the Ultimate Universe, so many of them have made it into the cinematic universe now.
Absolutely.
So it's kind of funny because, I mean, Nick Fury, Samuel L. Jackson, Eye Patch Bro.
There's a scene in the first, like they
Secret
call it
Wars?
The Ultimate. No, this is from like 2004 that Mark Miller wrote.
And this is their Avengers.
All the Avengers characters are saying like, if they made a movie about us, who would play you? And then Nick Fury says that's easy, Samuel L. Jackson. And then Samuel L. Jackson did play him.
Prediction,
crazy.
Bitches. Yeah. And that's why there was, and look, and I think it's a lot of, they needed that 10-year gestation period. They were like, look, we need these new fans coming. That's going to support the films. Now they'll know the characters. Now let's destroy it all and just make it one big happy universe.
Well, yeah. So you had the ultimate universe and the regular Marvel universe and every other little universe that exists in the comic world.
From a spin-off, like an old man Logan.
They're all colliding with each other. All those universes have ended and now there's like this weird event, which is a big mishmash.
Battleworld.
Yeah, mishmash of different universes called Battleworld. And once this event is over, then you're going to have a more
it's
more
a nerd's wet dream.
It's like
Royal Rumble. It's when all of your wrestlers come into... It's like when you play Mortal Kombat and you've unlocked all the characters. Or you know what it's like. The ill-fated Mortal Kombat versus DC. It's like just getting your favorite toy. No, you know what? It's getting your favorite toys and just playing them together.
What other things is it, Angus? Just list 10 more.
I'm just looking at things in the room. It's
like, have you ever put a burger on a pizza and then put ice cream on top of it?
It's a tadakan of
It's like,
comics.
have you ever put your bed sheets on the couch and then slept Made on the a television?
It's that. But
times 100.
But it's a real fun way of them going, let's consolidate all these universes and start fresh again.
And it just leaked all of the new comics that are coming out of it. And I just want to say...
one-fourth of them are spider comics.
Yeah, well, I guess they're extremely excited about the Sony deal.
That means that... And I'm pumped about that because it's like, as I pointed out to you earlier today, there are no Fantastic Four films, which is Fantastic Four comics, which is like the oldest superhero fan, like
one of the Marvel's the Starship oldest. Marvel titles
gone, doesn't exist.
All the characters are within the comics somewhere,
but they're like fucking Inhumans now.
Well, no, yeah, the Thing is in Guardians of the Galaxy, Human Torch is in Inhumans. And I don't know whether Mr. and Mrs. Fantastic are, but I think they're separated.
Yeah, they're separate. Mm. Even divorce happens in comics.
But I'm very excited.
One X-Men or something. Like
there's about six different X-Men comics.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh, there's Wolverine.
And then there's a few Wolverines. But then there's Extraordinary X-Men, Uncanny X-Men. X-Men and I don't know, there's a few different things.
I stand corrected. But there's so many Spider-Man. There's Spider-Man, which is... we'll save Miles Flood. There's Amazing Spider-Man. Sinister Silk. I don't know about Silk. Like, I actually don't know about the character Silk.
Silk is a new character.
That's an original Sin thing, right? I don't know about this.
No, Silk came out of the Spider-Man. I don't even know. Who cares?
There's Spider-Gwen, which is basically just for cosplayers.
What if Gwen... No, apparently it's really good.
That's what I mean. But
what
it's
if
like
Gwen Stacy was Spider-Man and not Peter Parker?
But it's a real cosplayer, I think. Like, I think that's... it's tumblers and cosplayers that have 90% to do with Spider-Gwen success.
Do you reckon anyone's ever done cosplay as a Tumblr site?
There you go, listener. Big idea next Comic-Con. What else there is? Spider-Man 2099, which got a huge resurgence recently with Miguel O'Hara.
The Spider-Man from 2099.
I mean, the title does say it all. One that I'm actually the most pumped for, Web Warriors, because I'm a huge sucker for Grant Morrison's Batman Inc. I'm getting shades of that. It's a bunch of Spider-Men
all around the world.
Spider-Man India was one of them. Spider-Man Noir. Spider-Ham. It's all these like goofy...
Spider-Pig.
Yeah, it's all these like awesome offshoot characters teaming up and like taking on shit. I don't know.
And Peter Parker designs all their tech.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's Batman Inc.
Yeah.
And
then there's the
Spider-Woman who's pregnant.
Yes, Spider-Woman's pregnant.
Who with Hawkeye. Jessica Drew. I mean, who's knocked her up. Then there's the Amazing Spider-Man classic Peter Parker. Except what I'm loving about this, he's now the pitch and Stan Slott still writing it. And Spider-Man, you got to admit, for the last 40 years, it's like The Simpsons. Like, he has not progressed that much. Peter Parker's a character in terms.
Well, I mean, he was not Peter Parker for a whole year.
He was not. He was Ben Reilly. He was a clone. Oh no, then no, he was also.
He also had the
Otto Octavius,
Doctor Octopus's
superior Spider-Man.
Took over his brain for an
which
entire
was an
year.
Awesome run.
Really good run. I'm halfway through it at the moment.
Which I still think is a real brave move of Marvel to do, though. I do have my theories of them saying to Sony, hey, we can do Spider-Man comics without even Peter Parker, you sons of bitches. This is showing how much of a badass we are. But I'm loving this new concept. So they've said he's globetrotting. It sounds a lot like Batman, and I'm not mad at that. He's globetrotting because apparently they said Marvel have said he's got Parker Industries, which is his Stark Industries. It's actually a huge, big company now. He's no longer like a pizza delivery guy. You know, he's not a schmuck working job. He's not a teacher. He's got this huge corporation. It's going to be based in New York, Shanghai, London, and San Francisco, and it's going to seem, and it's got a return of, and it's something that a lot of people hated, the Spider-Mobile. Did you see that Alex Ross variant cover? And that to me is such another Grant Morrison move. Grant Morrison took all the corny aspects of Batman's 60-year history at the time and brought it all into this.
And said that, why can't this one person have done all these crazy errors and had all these weird phases of his life?
Yeah, when a new writer takes over...
just accepted everything as canon.
Totally. Like, when a new writer takes over a character, I mean, it happens. A lot of it, these things didn't happen, or there's a lot of retcons, and you have to kind of forget what you've learned all over again and start anew. But it was such a cool move to be like, no, why can't he have this Batman of Al-Raz, what was it, the Zur-En-Nah.
Who was originally a character in like the
another
60s
planet
from a Batman from another planet, but then it became Batman's emergency backup.
So when he was compromised mentally and physically, Bruce Wayne had trained himself to have this crazy, like basically primal version of Batman inside at all times.
Called Zur-En-Nah.
It was amazing. It was so cool. But the spider vehicles returned, and it's like the Batmobile. It's this goofy spider shaped car, and I'm on board. I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
I think it's kick-ass that they're advancing Peter Parker, putting him in, like, you know, this global scale. But to make up for the fact that he's going to be out of high school and stuff, they've brought in, and this was a huge move, like 5 years ago, they killed Peter Parker, died in the Ultimate Universe, and he was replaced with a black Spider-Man, a Hispanic, African-American, mixed-race Spider-Man called
Miles Morales.
I mean, same, you know, PP, Peter Parker, MM, Miles Morales. Checks out quite a similar
character. That's all you need.
quite meek.
All you need is matching for,
yeah, it doesn't matter who your parents are.
Matching for first and second names, and then you need to be bitten by a spider. Voila, Spider-Man.
Voila. And the big news is he's now part of the main Marvel Universe. He's been plucked from Ultimate. He was such a huge hit.
One of the few things that survived the Ultimate Universe, as far as we know so far.
Yeah.
And he's going to be in the main universe with his own comic, still written by Bendis.
Yeah, which is huge.
And he's going to be, I guess, the main Spider-Man of New York.
Well, he's going to be the high school Spider-Man. There's going to be Spider-Man, that's him, and Amazing Spider-Man, which is Peter Parker. So, sorry, white guys are still more amazing, apparently, than mixed race Spider-Man. But that's Marvel's decision.
One day.
But I like the fact that, and that will be featuring in each other. So it's, and it just takes me back to that Morrison era of Batman where you'd have, you know, remember when Dick Grayson was Batman and Bruce Wayne was Batman? There was concurrent Batman.
And they were both dealing with separate.
Yeah, Dick Grayson looked after Gotham and Bruce looked after kind of, and I think that's awesome. And I think it's so obvious. I've seen it before and I love when it happened before and I'm just really pumped they're embracing that.
Yeah, totally. I mean, and why not do your own version of something?
And as a Spider-Man fan, I felt for the last few years like we were getting the short end of the deal. Spider-Man was basically because of the films, because Marvel did not have any kind of filmic say. And that's where, you got to admit, that's where their money's at, you know, Disney is.
They actually, the last few years has really seen them do lots and lots of different Spider-Universe books.
Slot was cool. I mean, Spider-Universe was Spider-Island.
No, but I mean also like just different series. So like you had the Superior Foes of Spider-Man, which
you're right, they're experimenting with stuff. But Venom, I mean, a lot of it was removed from the day-to-day Peter Parker thing.
Sure.
And it was kind of, you know, maybe it was them testing to see what they could do with or without Peter Parker.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just glad he's back. I'm glad he's Spider-Man.
Your boy's back, bro. Don't worry about it.
My boy's back and he's rich.
He's brought Miles with him.
He's brought Miles. And I'm super pumped by that. There were some people getting pissed off too that, oh, they had to get another white guy.
It's guaranteed that like any comics decision is going to be met with thousands of angry people on the internet.
Totally. I'm on board. I'm loving it.
I'm even more on board with my favorite current comics writer Jason Aaron has chosen to write the first series he's gotten in a long while of Doctor Strange, which is one of the next big Marvel properties that they're making a movie out of.
Yeah, Benedict Cumberbatch Camilla.
But you got it.
Benedict
He's going to be playing the Good Doctor, who has not had his own solo title
for years.
He's had like little mini series here or there over the last decade, but nothing for a long time. So Jason Aaron is an incredible writer. He's currently writing Star Wars and he's writing Thor.
His Star Wars run, like, this is, oh man, back in the Marvel zone. The best thing about Disney's acquisition of Star Wars has been the amazing run of comics. I'm not going to speak about it today. It has been a delight. Might I say, guys, it has been a delight to read your comics.
Angus is salivating.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, I'm a big digital like comics guy, just out of...
I love my
Retina, but I'm you know, going weekly to my local comic book shop and I pick up the physicals for all the Star Wars comics. I just, you know, as a Star Wars nut and a Marvel boy, it's perfect.
Jason Aaron's writing the main Star Wars comic for Marvel, which is really great.
It's awesome. Six issues in, it's set between A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back. It's brilliant.
He also has one of my favorite titles over at Image called Southern Bastards.
Probably
my favorite comic from last year.
I've still got issue one. I picked that up when we went to Free Comic Book Day last year, so I haven't read it.
Highly goddamn recommended.
Real good?
Yeah, incredible. Cool. Set in Alabama. It's about football and barbecue. And as a Friday Night Lights fan...
As a Friday Night, I was about to say.
You would actually really enjoy it.
The Friday Night Lights comic I never had.
And it deals with, like, you know, race issues while not being on the... It's very dark. It's great.
Yeah,
He also wrote a really great mini for... Icon last year called Men of Wrath, which I'd highly recommend to.
Oh, yeah.
If you are taking notes of what comics to read. But yeah, I can't think of anyone writing for Marvel right now who could do a better job. Anyone writing comics right now that could do a better job of dealing with Doctor Strange.
So you pumped, you got it.
Yeah, I mean, he's been incredible. One of my other favorite writers, Jonathan Hickman.
Yeah, he's going.
Yeah, he's been doing the Avengers comics for the last few years. And he did Fantastic Four before that.
He did Fantastic Four and FF in the lead up to the Marvel Now. And then when Marvel Now happened, he did Avengers and New Avengers, right?
Yeah, and they're both been like, it's almost like a kind of concurring story following on from Fantastic Four.
The fallout of this stuff.
Yeah, so and he's writing Secret Wars right now.
Has been the result of the status quo change, yeah.
But he wrote an incredible Doctor Strange. He was part of the New Avengers team. And I feel like Jason Aaron's going to be influenced by that. Man, you got to read Secret Wars just for the take on Stephen Strange.
I still haven't read.
The dynamic between Doctor Strange and Doctor Doom is like...
Yeah, wow.
Just one of the most fun things to read.
Spoiler alert, he's in charge, right? Basically, he's a god in this...
I mean, yeah, like for one reason or another, the universe that the Marvel currently is at the moment was created by Dr. Doom, and he is the god that looks over all.
It's amazing.
It's fantastic. We'll talk about it in depth once the series finishes, I guess.
And I'll force you to read it.
We've been talking for a long while. It's a long episode.
Yeah, this is real comic-y. Sorry for you, True Detective fans.
That's the only reason you like.
Should we touch on some games we've been playing lately?
Yeah, just let's end on a video game note.
So I know you picked up Woolly World.
Yoshi's Woolly World. I've been playing a very adult game. It's rated R. It's pretty hectic.
It's dark.
You play a dinosaur.
No, sorry, a dinosaur made of yarn. Yeah. So no, you got the Amiibo. As we know, we have different.
It is the most adorable game that's ever come. And it's like, you know, Nintendo have been putting out those adorable games for a while, but it's, you know, only in the last couple of years that we've been seeing them in HD.
Yeah.
And it makes so much difference. It's just this incredible game. Yoshi is the dinosaur that Mario rides sometimes. Sometimes.
I mean, if you don't know what Yoshi is, you don't know what, like, you definitely don't know what Pixar movies are.
You don't even know how to use a podcast.
You don't know what Spider-Man is, totally. Yoshi's like bread and butter, I reckon, yeah.
In this one you play, like, Yoshi and his entire world is made out of wool.
And I hate the word, but it looks charming.
It's incredible. The trailer, you hate the word charming?
To describe a game or something that's cute, it's just like really lazy, I find.
Yeah, sure. But
it's like when you have a troubled character and you don't say, just go, they have issues.
Oh, yeah. Or when you have a damaged character and you put damage on their forehead.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, but it looks amazing. It looks beautiful. It actually looks like wool. And shout out to Nintendo in the scorned digital event that you and I scorned. One of the coolest moments I found, though, was when they spoke to that female, I forget her name, but she'd been designing all the yarn Yoshis.
Yeah, one of their staff knitted a stack of
which was the inspiration Yoshis for the Amiibo and the game set. I saw that was like awesome.
Yeah, you get these really cute wool toys, which my son just like puts in his mouth now.
Does he really?
Yeah, you can either scan them on your gamepad or you can put them in your mouth. Child. It's perfect.
Yeah,
it's
great. Yeah.
Very, very so many different uses.
Have you been playing it? Is it as good as Yoshi's Island?
It's adorable. It's like the most. It's the sweetest game, but it's also.
Is it challenging?
Dude, it's really hard.
Like, are you a Yoshi's Island fan?
You can smash through all the levels and get through it pretty quickly, I guess. Mm. But if you actually want to
collect the three coins, etc.
Well, no, yeah, you collect like five like balls of wool throughout each level, yeah, and then they unlock like a different design of cool. Yoshi. And it's, I don't know, that's incentive for me to do it more. And then if you collect the little flowers, you have to collect five of those and they unlock an extra level.
How's it compared to like the other big first party platform there, Mario U?
I prefer it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a really, if you like platform games, it's one of the best. I love
Yoshi's Island was massive. And I mean, it was such a weird game. It shouldn't have worked. It was a prequel, which everyone forgets. It was a sequel also. It's Super Mario World 2, Yoshi's Island.
Yeah.
It's such a weird game. But
people love it.
It's amazing. And the animation is beautiful.
The art style was.
It was probably the first game which I can remember, like, first mainstream game which said, back then it was all about, I remember the Super FX chip was out and it was about having 3D graphics.
Totally.
Donkey Kong Country was out. It was all about showing off 3D graphics. But I remember like Nintendo made
chip,
a conscious decision to say, yeah, they did use the chip. That's right. But they were like, you know what? We're going to do something like esoteric, like left of whatever. We're not going for like hardcore graphics. And I think that was like, that's still them now.
I mean, that kind of sums up what they're all about.
But it was so good. The idea of that, it looks like pencils. It's like kids' crayon drawings.
And
or
now
something.
20 years after that, we've got wool. Knitted wool.
Thank you, 3D graphics.
But man, like just getting some of these the collectibles is so hard. Like I'll die.
I'm glad it's challenging.
And Nintendo is such dicks now because if you die like four times in a row, they're like, you know, you can just enable the really simple. If you put this onto
when
like
when do they do that?
Week,
was that for week?
If, like 3-year old mode, you'd be able to get through this easy. I'm like, no, I want to do it the right
way.
Really,
I'm a condescending.
Man, I'm an adult.
What game was that? Was the first time they did that Mario Galaxy 2?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
so
I get why they
two.
Do it because I mean, like, they want kids are playing these games, and if a kid dies fucking 10 times in a row, they're just gonna be like, "Fuck this game! You don't die in Angry
Birds."
But
I find it condescending as a 30-year-old. I'm like, yeah, don't you tell me about the setting.
Look, mum, I just had a brain fart and forgot how to say the creator of Mario's name.
Oh, Miyamoto.
Look, Miyamoto, Shigeru Miyamoto. I'm an adult man, and I like to be treated as such.
Yeah.
Give Mario a shotgun, and I want to blow these boos away.
Never happened. I've been playing Arkham Knight, from one woolly character to another. I've been playing the Rocksteady, finally, you know, rounding out their trilogy, their finale, the Arkham games. Which, man, what a shocker. Like, seriously, in all honesty, that series should never have worked.
Arkham...
licensed games, the thing is, like, licensed games suck.
Yeah.
And luckily now, I think, for consoles, smartphones exist. So anytime they need a quick cash grab license game, they never hit consoles anymore. Like, they just go, like, you know, we would have got an Avengers Age of Ultron game this year if there weren't smartphones around on a console, you know, a half-baked thing. They just go straight to here now. There are games where you get crystals to unlock shit, and that's how they make their money. That's, I'm fine with that because I don't play that horse shit.
Yeah, it's like Ultron Tetris. Have fun. Totally. Fuck you.
It's like, for, yeah, it's like those Candy Crush bullshit. And I'm glad those exist because assholes and parents will buy that, and, you know, that's how they're going to make money, whatever. But these consoles, you know, they're not getting sullied by this. But Arkham should never existed. I mean, a licensed game, I remember like 5 years ago when it came out, it was just like, why the hell is a licensed game really good? And I remember the early reviews for Arkham Asylum. It's like, this game is actually incredible. And it's not based off any Batman film. It's not based off a current comic. It's its own universe. And in a way...
And it references everything, but...
References
it's
everything.
It's definitely its own thing.
Yeah, it's like a grab
its
bag.
Its own takes on all the characters too.
The only thing the one thing I could say, it's kind of... the monster energy version of Batman, I always find. Like, everyone is brutishly large if you're a male and just ripped to the fucking max. Everyone looks like in their spare time, they're just like bench pressing rhinoceroses or something. Or if you're a female character, you're just mad slutty.
If you're one of three female characters in the entire universe,
you're a villain who you hit and you're also mad slutty.
And then every single guy, like, you'll just walk past, you'll be like, did you see that bitch? The bitch, bitch, bitch.
Yeah. Bitch. And you can tell, though, it is made for 15-year-old guys. But Steve is still playing. He's still playing it. I'm just like, yeah, man, like, there's a lot of Dorito fingers hitting the X button right now. There is a lot of, like, monster energy just getting chugged. I mean, that's the one thing I'm just kind of, like, hesitant. But I understand why it's there. The game itself is awesome, man. It's, like, it feels like the first next-gen game is finally, like, it looks beautiful. It's so tightly made. And for once, you have access to the Batmobile. And that, within itself, I mean, that is the ultimate James Bond game. Like, that's what James Bond doesn't have. He doesn't have a Batmobile. And the Batmobile is, like... it's integral to Batman. Every film, it's always like the unveiling of the Batmobile is more important usually than the suit itself. And
or the actor playing Batman.
Totally. And this Batmobile is probably my favorite Batmobile. And I love the universe too, because it has that Nolan realism. It's grounded, but there's mad neon lights.
It's totally metal.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's kind of got that kind of, it's got the Rainy Burton gargoyle.
Sure.
And it's kind of like this, it's the best bits of all of the worlds. And this is what I like about the car. It looks like a tank and stuff. It's just, yeah, it uses a lot of, I know there's a bit of Burton's car in there. There's no Schumacher, which you're going to be really upset about.
God damn it.
But
there's no Bat credit card minigame.
Not yet. I would really like, that's probably the iOS game for it. It's probably like Bat accounting or something. You know, just, you know, you got to really explain why a billionaire is spending all of his money on weapons research. But yeah, so far so good. Voice cast, awesome. Mark Hamill, Kevin Conroy, AKA the gods.
Classics.
Yeah. It's awesome. You got to pick it up, man. That's the game that will convince you to get a next gen. Like,
yeah, I've been like waiting for that the price drop.
Yeah, it's coming.
It's coming. As soon as it happens, I'll get a PS4.
It's huge and it's great. And the fact you can fly between like all three islands of this version of Gotham, no load time, nothing. It's just it exists.
Cool.
It's awesome. It's massive.
The reason I stopped playing, I loved Arkham Asylum, but I stopped playing Arkham City pretty early into it. I probably got like maybe 4 or 5 hours into it.
Who's the villain? Oh, it's Hugo Strange. That's right.
Because of, I just got really over doing stealth missions.
What do you mean? Like the ones where like you see like eight guys.
And they've all got guns and you can't let one of them see you.
Dude, you know what? I haven't done this for a long time. I got up an hour earlier than I did normally today to play Batman before I went to work.
The Rock and Ballers this week.
Just like the Rock and Ballers, you'll find out that next week episode prediction, he's gonna wake up early and, you know, just swipe a credit card and order some like really tight fitting shirts on Amazon or something. But yeah, man, it was a stealth mission and I was so into it. Like they've probably advanced a lot more. I do remember probably having some like, oh, I've got to do this. But now there's this cool feature where I have a gadget, and so in this game series, the Joker's dead. Ooh, whatever. I don't care if you're upset. If you don't know that, spoil it. So Harley Quinn's kind of picked up his army, his thugs.
Right.
And I've got a voice recording of her. And I've modulate that and give people instructions on their headsets as her.
That's cool.
So while they're standing around, I'm like, I've got to get in this door here. So I'm way up above looking down at a group of thugs who have guns. And as we know, Batman is very... Columbine really did things for Batman. He's very anti-gun. He's not a big fan at all. So I'm giving these dudes who have like massive rail guns and shit, I'm like, go over there and look at this thing. You give them instructions and they go and do it. But I've already like placed a bomb there and the wall crushes. And it's just, I think the stealth this time around is like, you've got to be really strategic. And the gadgets this time are a lot more fun for stealth.
Cool.
I think even you would like it.
Even a little gronk like me. That's yeah. My problem is that I like to just be like the fuck you stealth and just throw grenades at everybody and hope for the
Which
best.
Which Batman doesn't really do.
No. Batman.
He's stealthy as shit.
Get some grenades, Batman, for God's sake.
Stop being such a pussy and kill someone, bro.
Well, I mean, he has a tank that shoots tank bullets.
Well, no, the great... the other things are drones. They make an explicit... So you're fighting all those tanks in the game. There's nobody in them. They're controlled by this new villain, which DC have been on board with creating, called the Arkham Knight. And he's kind of like this anti-Batman. He's kind of like Bane in the military sense.
Bane was a robot.
He's like, there's a guy underneath there, and the whole thing right now is like, who is he? I've got my theories. I won't say them yet, but I've got a few ideas.
Is it CIA guy?
It's CIA guy. After all those hearing problems of him yelling on the plane in Dark Knight Rises, finally got his ears clean. He's got this cybernetic helmet, which helps his hearing. He's got infinite belt buckles, so he can just loop his fingers through at all times. And everyone's a big guy.
Let's end on the best note you possibly can. Whenever you reference CIA guy and a big guy for you, doesn't get any better than that.
It's a big note for you.
We'll be back next Thursday.
What we got? What will happen? Well, we got a new episode, True Detective.
And I'll be doing some cool burps like that again next
That's
week.
That's a new segment. After I just fill you in on ballers, Levins will be filling you in on burpers. yeah.
We'll be back next week.
Thanks for listening.
Levins, thanks for listening. You can catch us on Facebook. Facebook.com/HeyFamPodcast.
Email us. And if you've got any suggestions of things that you want us to kind of maybe... Something you think would like after these intimate 2 and a bit hours you've spent with us and say... Maybe Levins would like this comic. Maybe Angus would like this comic. You know, let us know. We want to hear this stuff.
Hey, man, let's wrap.
Hey, man, do a Simpsons commentary.
HeyFamPodcast@gmail.com is our email address. Even if you want us to just like, if you see something coming up in the future and you just be like, hey, can you just
I'd love a HeyFam approach.
Just don't go near that.
And we will go through it.
and we'll consider it. We'll weigh up the options.
Yeah, we'll see it. We'll see what your online presence is like and whether you have any influence.
This guy's not really the biggest influencer.
If you're an influencer, we're not going to do it. If you're if you're not an influencer, we'll be like, man, we're doing it.
And we're going to say, fuck you.
Also, there's no such thing as bad press. Peace.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.